Sunday morning and welcome. I was just saying, you know, how spoiled we are with air conditioning, and all we need is another $100,000 and we can do the sanctuary too. Anyway, it's a beautiful day, and certainly it's a great day for us to be, especially on a holiday weekend here, worshiping and fellowshipping together. And now Paul's going to give us some announcements. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, the bulletin, everybody's got a copy today? You have to share? Okay, perfect. First off, we have a couple birthdays in the crowd today. Fidel Stewartson and Jan Linner are both, and everybody probably knew this from Facebook this morning, because it was all over Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. Marie's on Facebook, so she told me all this stuff. Okay? So would you care to? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kendall.
Happy birthday
to you.
And many
more.
Now, we don't have the birthday hat today because I figured you guys would fight over it, you know? So stylish and nice. Coming up this week, or even today, I should say, the Bessie Seed Fall Catalog is out somewhere. Is it? Over on the table. Pick your bulbs for next spring. Get them planted this fall, and the church will get some money for it. The upcoming events again this week, we have the Ageless Grace in the auditorium on Wednesday, and Wednesday at 5, we're having our second summer barbecue. It's by donation only, whatever you can give, if it's food bank, if it's money, whatever you want to do. Okay, it's a free will offering. Come on out. We had a really good turnout in July, and hopefully we'll have as good a turnout in August. But when the burgers are gone, they're gone. Okay? There's nobody here to run over to M&M and get more burgers. Okay? The burgers and dogs, when they're done, they're done. Thursday, we have the Romeos and line dancing again. Next Sunday, again, it's worship with Reverend Dakin leading us. Matthew is still on vacation. Fun script, Sunday, August 13th. Okay, thanks to all the lawn mowing volunteers. And we have our take a breaks that Pam North is running. See Pam, see the sign up sheets. And join on those wonderful trips. Air conditioning, again, if you want to contribute towards the air conditioning. I just kind of find it ironic this summer. Last year we had no air conditioning and we sweltered through worship up in the sanctuary. This year we've got this lovely air conditioning, and we haven't had any real hot weather. You know, it's just one of ironic, life's ironic things. Okay, and the, if you know a single parent that would like to have a weekend with their child out at Camp Chemo Key, it's also listed in the bulletin there. So there's a lot of information here. Please take it home, read it, go through it. If there's something in there you're interested in, by all means, do it. Our first hymn is going to be number 264, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. And the words will be up on the screen for you if you can't find the hymn. Okay? So it's hymn number 264. What?
Well, it's...
Okay, somebody... Choose immortal, invisible, God only wise. What are we having? Okay, mystery.
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to sing what's on the board here. Would you just kind of play whatever you like there? Is it the same tune? Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
responsive approach to worship is printed for you in the bulletin. It's also on the screen. Please join me in this preparation of our hearts and minds to continue in worship. What would you think if a miracle could happen in your life? Why be such a skeptic? Miracles happen all the time. Perhaps you are just not looking in the right place or with the right attitude. Not if you don't want to, but if you commit yourself to using whatever gifts you have been given for good and appropriate things, you might be surprised by what can happen. It happened a lot of time when Jesus and his followers. Well, think a little bit about these words this time as we say them. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power,
our next hymn, I believe, is 703. In the bulb. Okay, in the bulb there is a flower. During the last verse, any of the little children out there playing are free to come up and have a story time with Mr. Dakin. So number 703, in the bulb there is a flower.
You guys ever go out and look at pieces of wood and think, that looks like something.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah. I do that sometimes. I found this growing on the side of a tree one time. What does that look like to you, Pine? Pardon? What do you think? It's kind of hard to tell. Some people say it looks like a duck. And I said, well, you know, if you looked inside somebody's head, you might think it looked like a brain, too. So I called it, oh, wouldn't it? Oh, you got purple hair. And you have purple hair, too. That's good for you. Have you got purple hair? You got purple dress.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, okay, so there.
You're losing
it, Ron. I'm losing. Yeah, I'm losing. Yeah. And here's an interesting piece of wood. You want to hold that piece of wood? Just touch it. Just hold it. See? Isn't that an interesting piece of wood? See, that looks kind of like this one. Only I use that one to just keep things from pulling away. Yeah, for hair. Purple hair. And here was an interesting piece of wood I found one time. What does that look like to you? Does that look like anything to you? Really? Oh. Does that look like Grandpa, did you say? Yeah, what do you think? That's heavy. Yeah, that looks like, to me, that looks like a hand sticking up in the air. And I just found that one and I polished it up. So, you know, sometimes when we look around, we can find all kinds of interesting things out there. Did you know that you have all kinds of interesting things about you, too? Like purple hair, yeah, and grandpas and grandmas, and smart things that you can do. Figure out how to put toys together. So there's some real special stuff that we each can do. And that's kind of what I was wanting to think about. Sometimes when you look at a piece of wood, you think that's just a piece of wood. But maybe you can see something more in it. And when you look at somebody, you think, well, that's just a kid. Or that's just an old man. But maybe there's something special about it. Okay? We're going to have a little prayer. And you guys can go back and play with all the toys back there, okay? Louise is not here, so we won't go on to Sunday school, but maybe we can have fun back there, okay? Everybody, you help. Dear God, thank you for all the special things that we can find. Thanks for coming and talking with me. Yeah, and don't interfere with my toy.
Enthusiasm of kids. I wish I had some hair to put purple in the first place. Okay, we're going to sing again. Touch the earth lightly, use the earth gently. So let's try this one, shall we?
Use the earth gently, nourish the life.
we bring our offerings together this morning, I thought it might be appropriate, and this is the passage that I've taken my text out, or the theme of the sermon from. But anyway, the Lord said to Moses at one point, Moses, by the way, was arguing with God about whether or not he was able to do anything, especially lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And so God said, "What's that in your hand, Moses?" And we'll talk some more about that. So think about this. What's that in your hand? That's a gift that God has given you that you can use. And you can all wave to her if she's waving to you. Shall we bring our tithes and our offerings? That we have for our lesson this morning that the lectionary suggests to us, one I think we're probably all quite familiar with it. Let me read it for you. It's from Matthew. Jesus had just been with the disciples and the whole crowd began to gather around. And so Jesus left the boat, left in a boat to go to a remote area, but the crowds heard where he was headed, and they followed on foot through the many towns and from the many towns to find him. And Jesus saw a huge crowd as he stepped out of the boat, and he had compassion on them, and he began to heal their sick. And that evening, the disciples came to him, and he said, "You know, this is a very remote place, and it's getting really quite late. Why don't we send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food to feed themselves?" But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. Why don't you feed them?" "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Well, bring them to me," he said. And then he told the people to sit on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven, blessed them, and then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who then distributed it to the people, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover, and about 5,000 people were fed with their families in addition to the women and children that day. May God grant a blessing upon us as we appreciate this passage of Scripture and what it can say to us. God's Spirit be with us and direct our thoughts and help us to appreciate the lessons that are offered to us today. You know, sometimes people have a tendency to treat the Bible stories as something that should just be ignored or maybe debated. Like, are they real? Have they been made up from someone's imagination? Are they fantasies from notions that people have about life? What are the stories in the Bible? Well, I think sometimes that mindset is a little bit too shallow, and probably not the most appropriate way of trying to approach what the Bible has to offer. Of course, you'd expect a preacher to say something like that, but take today's text for an example. How is it possible to feed a crowd of 5,000 people with so few resources? Is this story for real, or what is it in fact? And so begins the debate. But you know, if you could take this story as a kind of metaphor, its message is really full of all kinds of useful insight. We would be foolish to let it be misappropriated by the skeptics. Not only was Jesus a very remarkable teacher and miracle worker, extraordinaire actually, he seemed especially talented at using whatever was at hand to accomplish what was needed. I suppose maybe he grew up with a granny kind of like mine, who used to always say, you know, when we sat at the supper table, waste not, want not, or about all the kids that are in the other places in the world who are hungry and would be glad to have the food that you have in front of them. Well, anyway, whoever raised him, whatever the reason, Jesus knew how to turn a common moment into some kind of miraculous outcome. So many times. Makes me think of that TV program. Actually, it was on a few years ago, and now it's been revived again with new characters, where MacGyver, you know MacGyver, he finds himself and others in tight spots, and he figures out, using whatever is at hand, to find a solution, adapting almost anything to the needs of the moment. Well, when Jesus was faced with the task of feeding 5,000 people hungry, whatever number there were out there in this isolated place, with no preparations apparently any more than in one version of the story, it talks about how this young boy had these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he took those simple elements and somehow made do. How it was accomplished, we can only speculate, but it doesn't matter. What does matter is that primed with just a few loaves of bread and even fewer fish, a crowd of humongous numbers was fed. Nothing short of a miracle. A lesson, I think, by which we can learn a little about life for ourselves. When I read this story like this, I was kind of reminded of a conversation that is reported that Moses had with God, and I mentioned that on the offertory thing. God said, Moses, I want you to go down and lead my children out of Egypt. And Moses was kind of unsure about things. He was a man about my age, by the way. And God is saying to him, I want you to go lead those people. So Moses was complaining that he was not sure that anyone would take him seriously. And so he made all these excuses. And that's when God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? And Moses said, well, it's just my walking staff. And God says, well, throw it on the ground. So he did, and it turned into a snake. And then God said, okay, Moses, pick it up. And so with a certain trepidation, I'm sure, he picked it up, and it became a staff again. And it was in a similar fashion that they went through a whole bunch of excuses that Moses had about things that he couldn't do. And God went on to demonstrate how, in fact, there was something he could do about it with what he had at hand. And so on went the mission. How many times have you said or thought all the good things that you could do if only you had something more than you do now? How we could expand our services to the community, as some of us were saying a little earlier, how we could air condition the sanctuary. We had $100,000 or whatever it takes, you know. And maybe things that we could do for ourselves and get a little bit more pleasure out of life. If only we won the lottery, or if only something special would happen. Imagine how nice it would be, you know, if somebody came up with a whole bunch of money and filled up our emergency fund once again. Just think of all the projects that we could undertake. If only. Some time ago, when Carol and I were visiting in Niagara Falls, and I was sitting in the hotel lobby reading a book Carol was finishing up, and I was just waiting for her, and another senior struck up a conversation with me about how he had almost made a fortune in the slot machines. Apparently, he'd been playing rather fast, investing a fair amount of his money when he decided it was probably time to quit. He probably ran out of money. But anyway, he made one last shot at the spin of the machine and used up whatever he had left in the machine. And wouldn't you know it, that spin was the perfect combination for a big win, except that his bet was so small that it hardly amounted to more than a pittance. And so he was moaning, if only I had put more money on that spin, I could be walking home with a fortune in my pocket. Well, maybe. Or maybe he would have lost another fortune. But life is not about what we could do, if only. Rather, it is about doing what we can with what we do have. If only is for our dreams that will never happen, or regrets about something that never really happened. There's nothing wrong with a healthy ambition and dreams that would motivate us to moving and getting ahead. And probably that is the motivation that makes many things happen in life. But when we simply dream about what could be if only, and ignore what is already in front of us right now, then no matter what new things come along, we probably will miss those potentials as well. Each of us has been granted a life context for our growth and development. And wishing and fantasizing about how it could be different, if only we had something different, may cause us to miss the potential we already have in hand. Having something more is not necessarily better. If you have not yet exhausted the learning potentials in what we now have, then that something more may in fact bury us in a mass for which we have not yet accomplished and developed the skills to handle. Such thinking is based on the assumption that life is about what we can do with what we can acquire, rather than what we can become with what is already in our hands. As some wise person once said, we should be careful what we pray for, we might get it. So this miracle of Jesus was not just that 5,000 people were fed, but that it was accomplished by using only those things that were at hand. Some have tried to explain the experience by saying that this small boy's donation of 5 loaves and 2 fishes so inspired the people that everyone broke open their knapsacks and shared what they had brought along with them as well. Well, maybe. Others have offered all kinds of different explanations. But attempts at explanation is actually to miss the point. The point is, by using even an unlikely resource and committing it to an apparently impossible task, the unthinkable was accomplished. Whether Jesus' hands just taking the bread and breaking it, turned it into so many shareable pieces and multiplied those thousands times over, whatever. But he was presented with an impossible challenge, and he accepted that challenge, and by using simply what was at hand, he resolved the problem. Jesus' resolute and calm use of the available can be a lesson for every one of us, I think. We might not be miracle workers like he was. We can learn to apply well what we do have, though, to the tasks that present themselves, and it is somewhat miraculous what can be the result. Why might not always be so quick to label it a miracle, and yet maybe I should maybe call it a miracle. I never cease to be amazed at how impossible outcomes sometimes result when we decide to make do with what we have in hand. And then there's this matter about our quest for abundance. And I say this an awful lot, probably because it haunts me anyway. But it's a motivation that drives most of us to some degree or more. But the question we might want to ponder is just how important should such a quest be? I'm reminded of something that Paul once pointed out to the Corinthians. And if I can paraphrase him just a little bit. The things you can see and touch, you know, are only temporary. They will all eventually pass away. That which is eternal is far different. It has enduring qualities. You don't always see them. You may not be able to handle them, but they last forever. And that's why I choose to put my faith and energy into that which cannot be seen, he said. And you see, he was hinting at the difference between abundance of quantity and abundance of quality. Life for him was not just about acquisition, but about accomplishment. And accomplishment is not so much a quantitative matter as it is a qualitative matter. It is a matter of doing the best we can with using that with which we've been gifted in the first place. Our life is not just for these few years and what they can accomplish. accumulate, but more importantly, for what we are and those that we influence able to become in the process of our living. Those whose focus is primarily upon what they can acquire might never take the time and energy to develop that by which they have already been blessed and enabled in the first place. And those who learn to use well what God has already placed in their hands will experience some kind of miracle, like Jesus performed feeding the thousands, starting with only a few loaves and a few fish, and using them well. So that day on the seashore, Jesus' heart, of course, was touched by the thousands who had sought him out to be healed and to be taught, and he shared with them the gifts of healing and insight that he had available to offer them. And when evening came, of course, and there they were with the need for a meal, he gave them that as well. And it was not a banquet of epic proportions. It was simply a bit of bread and fish and whatever else. But it was enough to calm the appetite of thousands of hungry stomachs. And apparently with 12 baskets of leftover scraps to boot. And all these gifts came from that which is already there in their midst. The ignorance and the illness and even the small tokens of food were somehow transformed into miracles of healing and sustenance by the touch of one, when you think about it, who had only recently been discovering that God had a special mission for him to fulfill when he was there wandering in the wilderness. But even though Jesus had a special gift as Messiah, Son of God, he was demonstrating something that I want us all to learn. By making something out of what we already have, miracles can happen. It is as God stands always ready to honor our faith. We're not likely to become affluent just because we think that would be nice. Nor will life be made easy just because we don't like its difficulties. But when we put our energies into using that which is already in our hands, like the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, which became enough to feed thousands, when we do that with the things we have, so too can good miracles be performed in our lives as well. So, perhaps the most important miracle of life is learning to do something worthwhile with what we already have. So, take a look. What is that in your hand right now? Amen. As we bow together in prayer, I would invite you to think in terms of those situations in your experience, your life, your whatever, where you know there is a need for prayer. Maybe you can make it your commission, your responsibility, to offer a prayer and then to offer yourself as a resolution. Let's bow together and let me share these words for you to consider. Father, sometimes we fail to realize all the potential you have placed in our hands. Perhaps we even have the most basic resources for a miracle, if only we had the willingness and insight to use what you have given us. We see so many needs in this world, and we long for resolution. Perhaps we are the source for that resolution. We pray for those who struggle with hunger and all the elements of famine, that we might be touched and they might be fed. Perhaps our food is what they need. Perhaps the resources we take for granted are what they need, what we need to share. We know of the lonely and the grieving, and we pray for their comfort. Perhaps it's our comfort for which they wait. In many places of unrest in this world, people attacking and destroying for whatever reason they believe just, is there somehow we can be used to intervene? Father, if you have something for us to do, we ask you to use us as we commit ourselves to be your instruments of love and justice and social change. May there be no person left in need of what we can provide. May there be no peace for us until there is peace for all. There is much you've placed in our hands. May we cease from wishing for more until we have used well in your service that which we already have. Amen. And our hymn is number 355. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and evermore.